Chapter 13. After the Battle. Shortly after the Battle of Waterloo, Miss Matilda Crawley opened the morning newspaper and saw Rawdon's name on the list of soldiers who had been promoted.
With his new rank of colonel and my money, he could have married into one of the country's best families, she thought angrily. Instead, he's got a governess for a wife.
A few weeks later, Miss Crawley received a letter from Rawdon. Becky had suggested that Rawdon write to his aunt because she wanted him to stay in contact with Miss Crawley in the hope that the old woman would eventually accept their marriage. Becky had dictated the letter, which implied that he had been promoted for valour on the battlefield. But of course, it was all lies. Rawdon had certainly been near the Battle of Waterloo, but he had not actually fought in it. And he had received a promotion only because his general liked Becky and thought that she deserved to be married to a colonel. There was only one true sentence in the letter, the last one, which said that his regiment was marching to Paris. That winter, Becky and Rawdon enjoyed a marvellous social life in Paris. Military men and aristocrats from all over Europe had gathered there, and Rawdon's general made sure that the Crawleys were invited to all the important parties. Miss Crawley heard about it all in letters from her many friends in Paris. These letters made Miss Crawley very angry because she didn't want Becky to be a social success. Then, in the early spring, Miss Crawley saw an announcement in the paper that made her even more furious. Becky and Rawdon had had a son. That same day, Miss Crawley wrote to her elder nephew, Pitt, at Queen's Crawley and asked him to come and see her in London the following day. When Pitt arrived at his aunt's house in Park Lane, he was surprised by her words.
"You and Lady Jane Sheepshanks are planning to get married. If you marry her at once, I'll give you £1,000 a year," she said. "After I die, you will inherit my money, not your brother."
Pitt was very happy with his aunt's decision.
"Why not?" he thought. "My aunt's money will help us very much."
Soon afterwards, Pitt Crawley and Lady Jane were married. After the wedding, Miss Crawley insisted that the young couple move into her Park Lane house. Frightened that he might lose his aunt's money, Pitt agreed to do whatever she asked of him. And fortunately for him, Jane was the type of woman who always agreed with her husband. Meanwhile, George Osborne's sister and father were mourning for George.
"George disobeyed me by marrying the Sedley girl," old Osborne thought. "But if he had lived, he could have asked my pardon. Now that will never happen."
A few weeks after the battle, old Osborne received the letter that George had written the night before he died.
"Dear Father, we go to battle in the morning. I am grateful for your generosity to me until my marriage. If I am killed, I ask you to help Amelia. And if, as I hope, she is pregnant, I also ask you to be loving and generous to your grandchild. I hope you'll be proud of me, whether I live through the battle or die in it. Your loving son, George."
Seeing Amelia's name made old Osborne extremely angry.
"She is responsible for what happened between George and me," he thought angrily. "I hate her, and I will never help her."
In the autumn, old Osborne went to Belgium to visit George's grave. One day in Brussels, Dobbin saw him going into his hotel and followed him into the entrance.
"Mr. Osborne," he cried, "I must speak to you, sir. I've got a message for you from your son."
Old Osborne looked at Dobbin for a moment before answering.
"Come with me," he finally said.
"Sir, you know I was George's closest friend," began Dobbin when they were in old Osborne's room.
His wife is mourning so much. She's going to have a baby, and I am worried about her health. George left her very little money, and you know that her family hasn't got much. It was George's last wish that you should help her and your grandchild.
She is the reason my son disobeyed me, old Osborne shouted. I was a generous, loving father until he ignored my wishes. I won't help her. Goodbye, Dobbin.
Dobbin decided not to tell Amelia what George's father had said.
She won't even care, he thought. She's mourning too much.
A few weeks later, Amelia had a son whom she called Georgie, and gradually she began to laugh once again. She gave all her attention to Georgie and rarely let him out of her arms. When Amelia was well enough to travel, Dobbin brought her and Georgie to her parents' home in London. He visited them every day and always brought small presents for everyone. You will probably have understood by now that Dobbin was in love with Amelia. But Amelia did not understand this. She treated him as her husband's best friend and nothing more. That is why, when Georgie was about 6 months old, Dobbin decided to go to India with his regiment.
"Will you write to me?" he asked, after telling Amelia about his decision.
"Of course I will," Amelia said. "You have been so good to me and to Georgie. God bless you."
Dobbin kissed her cheek, then left the house.